Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your show host, Randy Fine. Today we're going to be talking about finding happiness and healing through self-love, and this is something that I talk about all the time because I truly believe, and in my experience counseling so many other people, that it is at the core of all healing. Today we have with us Jennifer Elizabeth Masters, who is an energy healer, a hypnotherapist, intuitive life coach, channel, and spiritual counselor. She has been highly intuitive since childhood, and she has the ability to see core issues, blocks, and patterns of information in our energy field. Then she shifts them, dissolves them, and eliminates them. So let me introduce her to you and bring her on. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Randy. Boy, that music is heart-opening. What a beautiful theme song. Wow.
Thank you. I was searching and searching, and then I came upon this song, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, wow. But thank you. I love hearing it every time. And that's an abbreviated version, so there is a longer version on YouTube. You've been committed to moving beyond your core issues, and can you give us a little bit of a background about what has motivated you to get to the point where you are now?
Lots of pain. So I believe that everyone on the planet deals with self-love issues in some form of addiction, the way it manifests in everyone's life is different, but in mine, I had lots of trauma in my childhood, and that created very low self-esteem for myself. I wasn't allowed to make decisions in my childhood. I wasn't allowed to express emotions like a lot of us were not. And so therefore, I went on to be a victim into my adulthood, attracting more victimization because that's how I felt. And it took me 3 marriages and divorces and tumultuous relationships, each one getting worse than the other, and then physical manifestations. I had Epstein-Barr, fibromyalgia, so my immune system wasn't functioning. I had bladder infection after bladder infection, sinus infections, and all of those things were signposts along my path that it took me until they were really raging for me to go, something's wrong. Something's wrong with this picture. Because back in high school, when I was 16, I read the book Siddhartha about enlightenment, and I wanted that. And here I was struggling and in suffering and pain and so much trouble with my family, my relationships, my parents. So the pain was the catalyst, but the illness was what made me recognize my thoughts were literally killing me. And so then I just dove really deep into healing me. I read Prescription for Nutritional Healing probably three times. I had three iterations of that book. That's how many times I read it. Louise Hayes, You Can Heal Your Life, You Can Heal Your Body. I read that book cover to cover. I've had four copies of that book. And I still today use Louise Hayes' work in the work with my clients. So here's the thing, is that if we don't deal with the trauma in our childhood, it continues to surface. We keep attracting what we are, the energy that we hold, and we don't realize it until it's like, you know, over and over in our face. And of course, you know, when we're stubborn or resistant, that makes it even harder to recognize. So that's my story. And in the process, anxiety and depression and everything was eliminated by loving myself.
It is so amazing. And it's something that when a person is hurting,
Randy? Randy?
So sorry, I'm back. My phone just, and I'm on a regular phone. Are you there, Jennifer?
Well,
okay.
Jennifer,
are you there?
Sometimes that happens. Yes, I am here. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so strange. That has actually never happened, but strange things happen when I'm on a show with people who are highly spiritually connected, high energy. It's always weird stuff that I don't know if it's the energy or some interference by spirit or whatever it is, but anyway, I am back. So go ahead.
You were saying about when people are hurt and I guess suffering, and that was the last I heard.
Okay. So yes, what I was trying to say is when people are hurting and suffering, they don't really want to hear at that time that self-love is going to change their life. Not only that, but to even grasp the concept is very, very difficult. Because if they've never grasped it before, it's an alien kind of concept. And so I always hear this hesitation in people's voices. And, you know, they're like, that's so selfish, you know. And but as I work with them and keep driving this home, they eventually get it. And once they get it, they say, now I understand. So can you explain why you believe self-love is so important to happiness and healing?
Well, what I have to do is talk about the way the human mind works. First of all, we're not aware of over 90% of our thoughts. So if we're not even aware of 90% of our thoughts, these rampant thoughts are ruling our world and creating our reality, however it is. And Randy, you have a lot of clicking in the background of, I don't know if it's your line or,
this is
I don't
so
know,
strange.
Can you hear it? Yeah. So here's the thing.
Is that
when
better?
People say, no.
Okay, I have
it sounds
no
like
idea
typing.
I have
it's
no
weird.
Idea
sounds
what's
like
going
typing.
On. I am in a quiet room and there's nothing here. Is it interfering with the sounds? Because I can call back in.
Yes, it is.
Okay, let me call you. Let me call back in.
Okay.
So sorry.
Okay. So I'm just going to continue and say that what happens is we tend to obsessively think. We have looping thoughts, one thought after another. I can't do this. I don't have money for that. He's hurting me. This is abusive, or I'm being abused, or I am sick. And when we say these things to ourselves.
Okay, I'm back. Is the sound better?
No.
Okay.
It's not. Okay.
I have no idea what's going on. Let's move past it.
Okay.
And if it's really okay.
What I was saying is that we have these thoughts and looping thoughts that just, you know, whatever we say and think to ourselves is what creates our world. And when I discovered that my thoughts were killing me, my focus wasn't on wellness. My focus was, I have a sinus infection. I'm angry. He did this to me. She did that to me. So I kept focusing on all the pain and all the suffering. And each time we do that, we create another loop, another synapse, and it makes it harder for us to move beyond whatever it is. And so what I help people do is focus on the solution, put the problem behind you, and change your thoughts. So, you know, Wayne Dyer, I worked with Wayne Dyer a long time ago. He said, you know, change your thoughts, change your world. And that's the bottom line, is that each of us creates with our thoughts. It's like every thought we think is a prayer, and God, Spirit, Source, whatever you want to call it, hears everything. And the universe is always orchestrating our lives for us. So if we say something is true for us, the universe goes, you don't have money? You're miserable? There you go. You don't have money, and there's more misery for you. If you're afraid of angry men, you're going to continue, and this is what I did, you're going to continue to attract angry, scary men. That was my dad. And until I finally stood up to an angry, scary man, faced my fear, I continued to have that problem. So what happens is that we want to be loved. Everyone wants to be loved. And most of us, and I did this, we try to please everybody. We try to make everyone happy. And then we feel diminished. We feel lost. And we don't know who we are because we've been people-pleasing, going out of our way, making great strives to do and be what other people want us to be instead of standing in our own truth of who we are, being authentically us. I used to change my spots and be, you want me to be an acrobat, I'll be an acrobat. You want me to be a singer, I'll be a singer. I'm just kind of making light of that is what we do when we're trying to make others happy. And we have got to be who we are. And so part of this is not people pleasing, but standing up for who we are. When someone crosses our boundaries, the first thing we get are, you know, anger. Anger issues come up. And typically what we do is we blame the other person when we are not setting healthy boundaries. So we always have to be focusing not on what they're doing, but how we are feeling. And our feelings are the thing that are the barometer for where we're at.
You're absolutely right. I just posted on my website a poem by Nelson Mandela and Marianne Williamson called What We Fear the Most. And I don't know if you're familiar with it. I won't read the whole thing, but the second part of it says, you are a child of the universe. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to manifest, to make manifest the glory of the universe that is within us. It is not just in some of us. It is in everyone. That's just an excerpt from this poem, but it speaks to exactly what you are saying. And yes, and I was there myself. It was such a shock to me when I realized that I was at the root of everything that was happening to me. It was like I was the last person I looked at. But
I
once
know.
I did, you know,
it's
but
amazing,
once I
right?
did, right? It, yeah, it was like, oh, now I get it. So, yes, even when circumstances are very cruel to us in life and we are victimized under many different circumstances, it is us that has to choose how we're going to view this and move on. If we need help, we have to get help. But yes, we can't live our lives thinking other people are creating this reality for us, because it's not true. We create our reality. I agree with everything you said.
We're like absolute magnets. And, you know, I'm going to take this a little step further, because I know that you do work with narcissism. And
yes.
It's been a ribbon in my life. My mother has borderline personality disorder with narcissism. And then I married a man who was a narcissist, and I have a son who's a narcissist. And so, you know, these things are to show us and reflect back to us, okay, what is it about me that's attracting that? Why am I attracting that? And why didn't I see it? Because the signs are there. That's the other thing, is that when you look back to the people that we've had relationships with, usually in the first couple of dates, we know very clearly what the red flags are. And usually we just march on past. We think it's a parade. Those red flags aren't waving in my face for a reason. They're just a parade. And so often we don't stand up for ourselves. We don't speak our truth. We don't say what's in our mind and heart, and we don't ask questions. So when we move beyond fear of standing in our truth and being who we are, we start to ask questions. When people say something, we can say, well, what did you mean by that? How does that manifest for you? How does that play out in your life? You say you drink a beer every day, but you're not an alcoholic. Well, did your parents have alcoholism? You know, there's a lot of different ways we can go with questioning, but, you know, the old ask and it is given. Asking questions is what we are meant to do. And when we're in fear, we're afraid to ask. We're afraid to ask our loved ones questions. We're afraid to ask ourselves questions because we're afraid of who we are.
That's so true. That's true. And that, again, goes back to what we fear the most. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. And we don't want to, we're afraid of who we really are. And often, you know, I find this quite often, that a lot of people are afraid to let go of the pain that they've had for so many years because it defines them. It is who they are. And without that identity, they don't know who they are. They're not a person with pain anymore. So who are they? And that is, it feels like the bottom is dropping out of your life and you have to rebuild it again. So that is absolutely a factor in some people not letting go. But, you know, through encouragement, they do let go and realize that this fabulous person has been waiting to emerge. And that's such a great, great feeling for everyone.
Well, so I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I think that, you know, there is a plan in place that we have our beauty, we have our radiance, we have agility, we have all these wonderful things when we're young, but we don't get the wisdom until we are usually in our late 50s, early 60s. That typically is when wisdom really comes in. And I think it's to balance out, you know, the old, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. That I really, truly feel that. But here's the thing is that when we really love ourselves, our radiance from inside shines outside, and then we become ageless. So what's in it for you? Why do you want to love yourself? Because then you can have the money, the home, the car. You are able to manifest whatever you want because you're radiating and vibrating at a high state of love because you're not hating yourself. And your health is vibrant because you're not hating yourself. And all disease comes from the way we think about ourselves.
I totally agree with you, and thank you. You put that perfectly. I love the way you explain that. So you work with people. You have the ability to see their core issues, their blocks, their patterns in their energy field, and then you're able to shift, dissolve, and eliminate them. Can you tell us about how you do that?
Well, everybody, kind of, sort of. Do I know how exactly it happens? Well, I have a team that are way higher level than me that work with me, and they communicate with me, and I'm basically commanding that things happen. And here's the thing. When I first said this to someone, they said, what, you command the higher realms? Well, who do you think we are? You know, we are radiating that God energy because God is within us. Source energy is within us. So the more that we step into our power, which is by recognizing who we are, loving who we are, appreciating and being grateful for who we are. So basically, I'm radiating at a place of love or above. And then I connect to the high self of the individual, and there's like a foundational clearing that I do to begin with, and usually within the first 10 minutes of a session with someone, they're saying, "Holy cow, I feel so much calmer. My thoughts are not, you know, so obsessive. I you know, they just feel anxiety free." So our natural state is to be anxiety free, but our thoughts, our fears attract all kinds of stuff, and even our thoughts create attachments that weigh us down. And our thoughts can take on literally a life of their own and almost become like an entity. Our own obsessive thoughts create a mood and then, you know, a way of being. And so when we say to ourselves, okay, I want to move beyond this fear. I really want to be who I truly am. And I commit, we have to commit to ourselves. That's what I did. I wrote a commitment to myself. I want to love myself. I want to have a happy life. And I commit to do whatever it takes to get there. And that's what we have to do. And I've had people, you know, they'll work with me, do a session, and, well, I did everything you said, and it was good for about a week. And I said, well, did you continue? Well, no, you know. Well, we have to be disciplined to have joy, love, freedom, and happiness. Discipline, self-discipline, is part of freedom. It's like you can't play the game of bowling without getting the bowling ball down the middle, right? The middle of the lane. And so the tools that I give people are like bumper pads for their life. Think this way, but not that way. feel this way, but not that way. And the more that we basically give our mind parameters, and each time we start to go on an obsessive train of thought that's not uplifting, so there's two ways energy can go. It can go up or it can go down. That's what it does. It goes up in a spiral or down in a spiral. And the way we take ourselves down quickly is, I can't do this. This is not possible. There's no way this will happen. Thinking those types of thoughts or hateful thoughts about ourselves. We've been given this body that we are meant to revere, respect, trust, and love. And our body gives us lots of signs along the way. And lots of us, many of us, most of us, miss the signs until our health becomes a factor or until our life falls apart.
So true. So true. Again, you know, everything you said resonates with me. I own two massage envies in South Florida. So I have a lot of therapists that work for me. And I recently became aware of a quantum touch method. Mm-hmm. And I decided I was going to treat all my employees to workshops to learn it. What we learn to do is run our energy. And the difference it has made in the environment, in each person's life, in the other people we touch. I know the first day I came home with this energy flowing in me, my husband was a completely different person. He had let his negativity go. It's amazing how powerful we are when we manifest the energy of the universe and we radiate it. Everything changes around us. It's within us and around us. And I saw it for myself. I mean, I've seen it before, I've heard it before, but I saw it, and it really works. And every person that took the workshop was just amazed. They're like, I thought this was a bunch of, you know, a waste of time, and I can't believe what's manifesting in my life already. Mm-hmm. So yes, it is imperative that we love ourselves, and we become this light and this radiance for the world, and everything will change.
I'd like to share a little clip of how I saw my life recently change when I did a little tweak in my life. You know, anybody that has children or has been in a relationship knows that there are a couple of behaviors that we can have, and one is enabling, one is manipulating, and let's just talk about those two. So I used to manipulate people for love. People pleasing is a manipulation. What we're doing is looking for love. I did this for you, now love me. And typically we're met with, I didn't ask you to do that, and then we're hurt. But what we're actually doing is we're asking other people to give us what we're not giving ourselves. So that part I mastered. But the enabling piece, I had my oldest child, I had this enmeshment relationship with, and you know, very dysfunctional for the longest time. And one day I just said, okay, I'm going to stop enabling him because I have got to do this. The same day that I stopped enabling him, it's like my business just took off. So every time we clean up our energy, and that means, okay, so let's say we give up alcohol and we start living a healthier lifestyle. We're exercising regularly, daily. We're taking better care of ourselves. We're upgrading our energy every time we do something for ourselves. It's not selfish. It's what we're meant to do. Every time that we stop with a negative behavior, we stop manipulating, we stop enabling, those things will give your energy. It's like you graduate to the next level. So this is why we want to really clean up our energy and vibrate at a higher rate, because then all you have to do is think, well, how could I have 3 new clients next week? How could I get a free trip to Scotland? And I'm telling you, I've done this. I had a free trip to Scotland this year. 9 days, free trip.
Wow.
And I've manifested places to stay in Colorado that were incredibly beautiful for free. And so I write about this stuff all the time. We are able, just like Jesus said, you know, don't ye know ye are gods? Because the spirit is within us. And when our body dies, and I've had plenty of people, we're getting off on another tangent, I've had plenty of people come back to me after they're not in a body and say, we are not dead. So that's proof positive to me. We are spirit. So if we're spirit, we are powerful. And
absolutely.
If we're hating on spirit, oh my gosh, what are we telling God?
Right. You know, once I was able to, and I've been embracing that concept that, you know, we are eternal, eternal beings. Once I embraced that concept, all fear left me in my life. Because the greatest fear we have is that we're going to die. And when we know that we don't die, then there's nothing to be afraid of, right?
Well, absolutely. I just visited a man where I used to live in the desert in California, in Rosamond. And so I, you know, of course, I had some neighbors and I made friends with them. And so this next door neighbor of mine contacted me and said, you know, my dad is dying. Can you come see him? So we sat and we talked about death and we talked about, well, who's been visiting you in your dreams? And he said his grandmother had, and he was starting to remember things about his childhood he'd forgotten. And he's within, I would say, a week to 2 weeks with, you know, from being not in a body anymore. And I talked to him about my experience, because there was a time when I found a breast lump, and in my dream state, I was walking down the tunnel of light, so I got to experience what that feels like. And you actually don't walk, you float. There's no walking. we're floating down the tunnel of light. And we're accompanied by two beings, and they don't speak, but you can feel. It's more like a knowing of what they're thinking, because in my dream state, I said, oh, they must be trying to show me the other side. They didn't say anything, but I could tell by just, it's a knowing. They didn't agree with what I was saying. And my daughter's dad had just passed away. And I said, well, she needs to have a mother. She can't be an orphan. She's only 16. And I said, I've got to be here for my daughter. My work's not done. And whoosh, out the tunnel of light I came. So even our death is a choice. We can choose to die or not die in a lot of cases. I won't say every case, but in a lot, they were giving me a choice. You want to go? Here you go. Take the easy way. Go. I didn't take it.
That's an amazing story. Sometimes the choice we make is not a choice we're making in the physical world, though. Sometimes the choice we're making for the time of our death has come before we manifested or we incarnated into this world. So
true.
It's always a choice of some nature. But when our time is up, and then we're going to, you know, cross over. That's how I feel, at least. So you have, I know you've written several books, and your latest book is called Happy Anywhere. So can you talk a little bit about that, what that's about?
Happy Anywhere is a book for anyone who isn't happy with their life, that is suffering from anxiety or depression. What we do as humans is we put off our joy and happiness. When I get this job, I'll be happy. When I get this education, I'll be happy. When I find this relationship, I'll be happy. When I lose this weight, I'll be happy. So when we say those things, and we're all guilty of doing it at some time or another, we're putting off our happiness to a later date. And we've got to find a way to be happy with what is. And that's what this book is about. I was living in, literally, I mentioned the desert. I was living in a ghetto in the desert. I didn't even realize that I was in a ghetto until I was getting ready to move. It's funny because, you know, you just go about your life. But every day I would take my dogs out into the desert, just one exit north, out in the middle of nowhere where it's just sand everywhere. And I would dance. I would plug in my headset, and my dogs were free, and I would dance to music. And one day my son David called me, and he said, "Mom, you sound so happy." I said, "Well, I am." He goes, "But you're living in the freaking desert." I said, "Yes, I am." He says, "And none of your kids are around you." I go, "No, they're not." And he goes, "You're not with family." "No, I'm not." And he goes, "Mom, I've never seen you so happy." And I went, "You know what? You're right. I am happy." So we've got to be happy no matter what is going on. And that, my friends, is a choice. I choose to be happy no matter what. And we've got to recognize that the crap in that outside world is our own projection and our own creation, and you can clean it up in seconds by choosing
your message
something
is,
else.
Jennifer, your message is so, so very important. It encompasses really all we need to know. These are the facts that we need to know to live a happy, healthy life. It's so basic that it's, you know, almost like hard to grasp because it is so very basic. And we get distracted by this physical world we're in, which is, you know, really a place that is not easy to maneuver around. But if we are happy from within and wherever we are, it doesn't matter. We can do what we need to do. So your book is available on, I guess, on Amazon. And where else can we find the book?
Well,
and your other books. And your other books.
Yes, they're all available on Amazon. They're available on Smashwords. And there's a couple of other places. Currently, now this next book, Happy Anywhere, will be available in the bookstores. It feels to me like by Christmas time it's going to be in bookstores. But, you know, you have to sell so many copies before that happens and bookstores order it. Because I'm self-publishing. That's the way I choose to do it. I prefer that method, and at least for now anyway. But it'll be out in August. Actually, the first week of September it's coming out.
Perfect. Perfect. And what is your website?
It's JenniferElizabethMasters.com. I also have a blog. So there are blog articles on my website. I also have a blog, Jennifer Elizabeth Masters at Blogspot, and there are 1,100 articles on both places. So you just Jennifer Elizabeth Masters, and you'll find I've got YouTube videos and books and, you know, lots of free resources. And I've had people come to me and say, you know, all your stuff, reading your blogs, watching your videos changed my life. So if you think, you know, there's nothing out there to help you, that's not true. There's plenty out there. You just have to, you know, reach out, find it, and utilize it in your life. Put those things in motion. Do them every day, and your life will change, I promise you.
Well, that is an amazing promise, and I absolutely agree with you. I so agree with you. Your message is very similar to mine, but I love the way that you explain all these things because it makes so much sense. And, you know, as far as help, the show is almost over, but when I was hurting the most, I remember standing in the library in front of a self-help shelf and going, "Something, please jump out at me. Please, I don't even know where to begin."
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I laser focused onto the book Women Who Love Too Much by Robin Norwood.
Oh, great book.
And yeah, it is a great book. And that was my eye opener. And so from that point on, every time I wanted to do more work, I would do the same thing. Something, please jump out at me. And that was the book that I would read, you know. So it is out there. Different messages resonate with people different ways. So if one message doesn't, find someone else and, you know, see what speaks to you. But there are a lot of free resources, you know, and thank you for all that you put out there. It's absolutely wonderful. So, Jennifer, our time is just about up. In about a minute, do you have a message that you want to share that maybe we did not cover?
Yes. With 90% of our thoughts being unconscious, we have got to place a rudder on the unconscious mind. And the way we do that is with a mantra that we repeat when we're driving, when we're washing our car, when we're doing dishes, when we're in the shower. And the mantra is as simple as, I love me. And it doesn't matter if you say to yourself, well, that doesn't make sense, I don't believe it. Or you could say, I am enough. But you've got to state positive things behind that I am, because I am is tapping into the God self that you are. And it creates whatever follows the I am. So I am loved, I am whole, I am complete. All of those positive statements spoken every single day will change your life. We've got to reprogram the synapses of the brain, and it's possible to do so with consistency. And those I am loved or I love me, very powerful, and it will change your life.
What a great way to close the show. Great message. Thank you. So I have to say goodbye to you, but I really, really appreciate you being my guest. I know we talked a lot back and forth trying to get you to this point. I'm hoping that when I replay this show, it won't have the clicks in it. Sometimes it's just in our own ears, in our phones, whatever it is, and it doesn't play in the show. So I'm hoping that that will be the case. But I hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful day. I know you will, because you're going to choose it.
Thank you, Wendy. Thank you so much.
So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So we are out of time for today, but if you, as my listeners, have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com, RANDIGFINE.com. My website is randygfine.com. My email is loveyourlife@randygfine.com. I wasn't sure which one I said. That just kind of floated out of my mouth. Sometimes that happens. So anyway, join us next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing, and thank you for listening.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.